The 2022 draft is complete, and I have a total recap of the entire offseason in terms of player acquisition. We'll do all of that here on the Monday edition of Locked On Jaguars in just 1 second.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, good people? I'm Tony Wiggins here on Locked On Jaguars. Thanking you for joining us here where we are your team every day and making us your first listen. Been covering this team for a long time now. For you guys out there that might be a new listener, it's been over a dozen years, whether it be radio, TV, or here on the podcast. So we're going to give you an interesting perspective today. A lot to talk about here, mainly the offseason acquisition, the talent acquisition phase is mainly completed now that the 2022 draft has gone away. I'll go over and review some of the picks with you, talk about the mission and if they accomplished it. Now we don't have to speculate about the plan anymore. You kind of see what it is. Now we can go back to start to figure out whether or not it's good or bad or if we agree with it. And finally, last but not least, what's left? What's left for the Jaguars to do? We'll hit that in segment three if there's anything left for them to do. But first, a bit of a recap here of what the Jaguars actually did. You guys, of course, already know a lot of what they've done in terms of who they drafted on Thursday, but we'll go back through it. Trevon Walker, the edge out of Georgia, 6'5", 275. I think they just have a special place for him. I don't think they picked him to put him in a spot. They picked him because they believe he has the highest ceiling, and I think they're going to just say, let's just build around that particular skill set. Devin Lloyd, who sort of fell to the Jaguars at 6'3", 235, linebacker out of Utah, really good player, trying to figure out what his role is actually going to be. I think he'll be the Mike off-the-ball linebacker sort of guy next to Olawakan. Who they'll basically, those two positions are probably a little bit interchangeable. So you have like a Mike and then a Will, but then in the 3-4, you sort of have a Mike and an inside guy who can sort of play like a Will linebacker. I think Luke Fortner is a good pick for the Jaguars. Another guy that's long at 6'6", who's going to play center for the Jaguars. Chad Muma, 6'3", 242. If you notice something, there's a trend here. All of these guys are longer and more angular than the players, a lot of the players the Jaguars have chosen in the past. Muma was a good value pick. It's a little, I thought about it and I'm like, you don't think a team like the Jaguars would make a value pick at that point, but they actually did. They went best player available. You almost have to ask yourself, if they knew he was going to be there at that spot, do they go Devin Lloyd where they went Devin Lloyd? It's funny. It's really funny because I think they probably were in line to line themselves up to take Quay Walker. And once he was gone, I think they went to the next guy and who they were shocked that was there. But then they looked up in the third round and Muma's still there, and they probably didn't like anybody else around. But you need players, you need backups, you need to be versatile, you need a bunch of guys, and this is what they did. So they went with Snoop Connor, the running back out of Ole Miss, powerfully built football player. He's listed at 5'10", 215. I've seen some things that said he was 224. But it gives them another guy who can power the ball and get first downs late in games. He also has a little bit of pop, too. So I look for him to challenge immediately to be the third running back and probably maybe even a backup coming out of camp, depending if James Robinson is healthy or not. Greg Jr., cornerback out of a small school, 6 feet, 195. And Monteric Brown rounded out the draft from Arkansas, 6 feet, 195 as well. He's listed as a DB, so I think that there's a chance that he could probably – compete at safety or corner, and that gives you a lot of versatility and a shot to make the team because you can actually do both. So it doesn't shock and surprise me that the Jags went late in the round for cornerbacks or defensive backs, because that team, that part of the team, contractually at least, is already full. I am a little bit shocked, though, that there was no I'm more shocked by the fact that they didn't take a tight end than I am about the fact that they didn't take a wide receiver, because of the contracts that they have and the people that they already have on the team. And I've come to some conclusions, but I was shocked. Evan Engram has a one-year deal. So I was really, really surprised, because I thought tight end would be emphasized. And I thought right in the middle of the draft, probably around the point where they took Chad Muma, that there was some value there in terms of tight ends. And that's where I sort of thought that they would address it. But I told people a long time ago that I thought the Jaguars were going to address linebacker. I did not know that they were going to address it twice. It tells you something, that it answers a lot of questions. So last week, I think last week and the week before that, when there was so much going on back and forth, so much banter and so much arguing amongst the fans about what the Jags were going to do and what they were thinking, I said, nothing's going to tell you more about what they're thinking about who they already have and what they're thinking about the guys that they're going to end up drafting than who they actually end up taking. Nothing is going to tell you more than watching what they do, and then you can go back and you can answer your own questions. All right, so I don't think they thought their linebacker core was up to snuff, right? So they've added three players, one in free agency, one in the first, and one in the third round. We were right about the linebacker core and what they thought about the linebacker core. The trenches on the offensive line, I think they thought it was okay. I think they really came in and said, you know what, we need to fortify that area. So what they did was they franchise tagged Cam Robinson, but then they signed Brandon Scherff, and then they draft Luke Fortner. So they needed to concentrate and focus on those trenches too. And they added and upgraded to that. I'm always a big proponent of adding a guy who can be a long-term player, whether it's through development or if he's ready to play right now. And I think Fortner can, at the very least, come in and challenge and become an instant backup at guard or center, and probably the guy who's going to be the future at center. They also tell you something about their philosophy, whether it's right, wrong, good, or bad, that they felt the need to get bigger without compromising speed. Because the bigger and the faster you are, the better you are. So it tells me that they probably watched the film and said, we're slow and we're not athletic enough in the front seven. Because everything they've done is to go out and add size, speed, and athletic. I don't know if y'all seen Chad Muma. Chad Muma runs sideline to sideline like a little guy, and he's 6'3". And Devin Lloyd runs sideline to sideline. He's got these real long arms. And, of course, Travon Walker is fast and athletic. It tells me that this organization, whether you look at the free agents that they signed with Oluwakan and Fadu Saka and all of these, they felt we're not big, strong, and fast enough on defense. Whatever you want to say about Trent Baalke, those teams that he was involved in San Francisco, they always looked apart. They always looked big. They always looked fast. They always looked long and athletic. The same thing can go for the Eagles. They always had guys that could make plays. They were strong. They were physical. They were athletic. So you have coaches with Peterson, who has been around championships, with Mike Caldwell, who was around the championship, and with Trent Baalke, whether you right, wrong, or, you know, whether you like him or not, Trent Baalke was around the 49ers, who were a championship caliber team. They at least should know what it looks like. And when they know what it looks like, they know what we should have and what we're missing. And I think the questions that you may have had got answered. Now, it doesn't mean that their plan is correct. It doesn't mean that they're going to be able to execute the plan. But we spent a lot of time trying to debate what it was we thought they were going to see, and if they saw the same things that we saw. So now nothing helps you more than those draft choices and those free agency signings that tell you where they thought that they were deficient. I'll talk about the wide receivers and the lack of an addition of a wide receiver. And I'll tell you why, from Doug Peterson's standpoint, I get it. And I'm trying to make sense out of everything, and trying to make sense out of why they didn't do this and why they didn't do that. I'm going to let you know, though, that today's show and today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline, because BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. And BetOnline is where the game starts. I'll be back here with more on segment two and tell you about those wide receivers and why I get why Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson did not add another wideout. And I'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. After I tell you about Built Bar, you should be eating one right now. That's right. You should have a Built Bar in your mouth right now because they are good for you at any time of the day. A good snack, a good resource for nutrition and the macros that you want. You don't have to sacrifice things not tasting good. You can have a Built Bar. It makes sure that there's something for everyone. Built Bar has so many flavors. My favorite, of course, is the salted caramel. I absolutely love it. I love the contrast of the sweetness and the saltiness. It's like a picnic, and I'm actually eating and enjoying a snack. That is not bad for you because the macros are off the chain. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Here's what you need to do. You need to go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. I'm going to say it again. Built.com, the promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off of your order at built.com. Check it out. Check them out at Twitter too, at @bar_built for all of the latest news. And we thank you again for making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars on a Monday, or actually every day. Remind you that we are free wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe the YouTube page. All right. So where are we now? The Jags need more wide receiver help. And according to fans and fans alike, I would agree that they don't have a number one. I would also agree that a number one is probably very, very hard to come by. And you just can't forsake everything else just because you need that one thing. To Doug Peterson's credit, he won a Super Bowl without a true number one receiver by dialing it up and by having everyone play as a team and by having a good game plan and getting good quarterback play. Once you have the quarterback, it seems that things should fall into place, but I don't want to be like a lot of people that last year at this time were saying, don't overthink it. Just draft Trevor and get out of the way. Or draft Trevor and 7 guys out of section 205 and you'll have a good team. Just don't screw this up. And I think the reason why I disagree with that so wholeheartedly is because I think folks were looking at it like, okay, if you just take Trevor and put him on a 2017 team, we have a winner, right? Well, that's true, but this wasn't the 2017 team. This team was more like the one that Gene Smith had in his last year when Urban came in. And then Urban didn't know what the hell he was doing. So really, I don't even think they took a step forward last year with some of these rookies. I think it's going to be like a rookie year for Trevor Lawrence all over again. I think it's more than just adding a quarterback and getting out of the way. I think you really have to do it right, and you have to figure out a way to maximize the fact that at least you're not looking for that, and now you need to feel things around him. And I think it's quick and it's easy for everyone to sit and think, okay, well, we got Trevor. Now we just need to get him weapons. I get it. I understand that's the desire to do that. But I also think that you just can't sell everything else down the river. I think these guys that have been around here, they know what it is you need when you're going to try to win a championship. Like the day you arrive at the Super Bowl, there are things that you need to have. Line of scrimmage, those other parts, being able to control the ball offensively and defensively, playmakers on offense, guys that can tackle in space. I think you need all of that stuff. Guys that can cover, good special teams, a kicking game. So I don't think that even though it's not like you just got a pocket full of money and everybody's going to this store and all of a sudden it's equal. Like, okay, there's a playmaker. There's an X receiver. It doesn't really work that way, especially with the draft and free agency and the fact that guys have to want to come. You have to actually take what's there when it's in front of you. I'll say it again. You have to take what's there when it's in front of you. I liken it to trying to lose weight in one specific area. No, you just go to the gym and you work out every day, and pretty soon the weight will come off. You can't pick and choose what leaves first. And you also can't pick and choose what's there for you in the draft. You just have to get the best players. Do I believe that they got the best player in the draft? I think for what they're trying to do and for what it appears that the message that's coming out for what they're trying to do, I think for them they did. For me, it would have been Kayvon Thibodeau or Evan Neal, and everyone knows that I said that. But now it's time to take a look. Okay, they didn't do what I wanted them to do, or they didn't do what some of us wanted them to do. But let me try to understand what it is they're trying to do. They're, for what it seems like they're trying to do, Trevon Walker was a really good pick. And I saw people say the Devin Lloyd pick actually made him like the Trevon Walker pick better. And then the Chad Muma pick, although it seems like it was a bit redundant, really made him like what they were trying to do. Yeah, they were trying to get bigger, stronger, and longer. Bigger, stronger, longer, and faster. Another mistake that I see people making is we're assuming that Mike Caldwell is going to run the same defense that they ran in Tampa. Whereas it could be similar to it, I think there'll be different variations of it. I don't think it's going to be identical to what Todd Bowles was running in Tampa. And I think the mistake is made a lot that we assume that that's exactly what's going to happen. Like Matt LaFleur might be running the Kyle Shanahan offense, but he's running in a different way in Green Bay because he has a different quarterback. And Joe Burrow and that crew, they're running the same offense, but they're running it in a different way. Like when I told people that back in the day that Mike Martz was running North Turner's Dallas Cowboys offense, people thought I was crazy. And then Deion Sanders, when he played for Washington and they beat the Rams on a Monday night, and they were confident that if they could have gotten past Tampa, they were going to beat them in the NFC Championship game. But they lost to Tampa, and then Tampa went out and played them. Deion says, we're confident because they're running our offense. And when he meant our offense, he meant the offense they were running in Washington with North Turner, which is the same offense that North Turner ran in Dallas. Now you say, well, wait a minute. The offense in Dallas was more run heavy than the greatest show on turf. Yeah, but it's the same offense. It doesn't mean you call it the same plays. Mike Martz was running North Turner's offense. So the greatest show on turf where they were throwing it around was the exact same offense that Jimmy Johnson had in Dallas, and people don't realize that. So you can actually have the exact same defense, but have it with a different variation because you switch and change it up because of the guys who you have on the field. So that's why people are trying to figure out, what is this role for Trevon Walker? I really think and feel that what they saw in Trevon Walker was this. We want him on our team, and we'll build some of our defense around what he does because he's a game wrecker. I think when they talk to a bunch of coaches, whether it be in the SEC or coaches at Georgia or coaches that were opponents, I think they flat out told them what a lot of us have heard behind the scenes, that Georgia's defense had a bunch of players, but there was one guy on there that was causing offensive coordinators problems and was a human wrecking ball, that it was Trevon Walker. I think they probably went to Georgia's practices and they talked to Kirby and they talked to those coordinators, and those guys told him he's that guy. I think when it came down to him versus Aiden Hutchinson, when I don't even think it came, really people keep saying that it may have been that way, but I just think when you sit them side by side in the national championship game and you realize Aiden got pretty much blocked all night by Jamari Sawyer, who was drafted in the sixth round and is going to play guard and not tackle, I think it was telling. And then I think when you look at the guys who they had ranked ahead, the guys that Trevon was – it's easy to watch the end of a play, but go back and watch all of it. And I kept telling people week after week after week after week, it's not about me. I just know what those guys like at that level. And I'm like, dude, did you see that? And he's like, yeah. I'm saying, you know that kind of stuff. And it seems like the more and more players and the more and more guys that have had either big-time college experience or that played in the NFL that I showed this to, they were like, yeah. Yeah, that's why you don't hear in any circles around the league that guy was a reach. You hear from fans because of what the expectation was. The expectation was also that N'Kobe Dean would be drafted ahead of Quay Walker, and he wasn't. So you start to understand that the NFL is all, it's different than college, man. It's like, okay, yeah, you did that there, but that's not what we're going to ask you to do here. And I really think they have a special position for him and a special way that they're going to use him and employ him. Remember, there have been times in the league, and I'm not comparing him to these people. There have been times in the league where guys have been able to rush the passer from a position that traditionally you don't rush the passer from. Aaron Donald does it. He's in a 3-4. Usually an interior guy doesn't rush the passer in a 3-4 and have that many sacks. Reggie White did it. And J.J. Watt has done it. It's incredible that those guys have gotten upper-digit sacks from with a hand on the ground in a 3-4 defense. I don't think that's where he's going to be. I think he'll be there in sub-packages and on passing downs and give you some mismatches. But I just think this is a new day and a new way of doing business, and I think we just have to start getting used to it. And now, whether their plan is good, whether their plan is bad, I don't know. Where they're going to get receivers from, I don't know. But you can't do it all in 1 year, man. You just can't do it all in 1 year. All right, what's left for them to do and what the expectations are coming into the season, I'll let you guys know that here in just a second on Locked On Jaguars. I don't know if you're watching, but that league of NBA, they're in the playoffs, man, and these games are good. It was a really good game the other day involving Ja Morant and Golden State. Oh, my God. The Memphis Golden State stuff. I'm telling you, you need to put your money where your mouth is, but you got to put your mind on the money first. And the best place to do that is to go to betonline.net because it's your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments. Who's going to play? Is this guy coming back? Is that guy coming back? The league reviews and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action, because BetOnline is where the game starts. And where you guys start with me, of course, is here on Locked On Jaguars every single day. So if you're wondering if I'm going to give out a draft grade, I'm not. I kind of balk at that, because usually when you give out a grade, you have the legend, right? You have the key. And you can just go with the little red pen and go through the draft. I can't give them a grade because I don't have the legend and I don't have a key. I don't have a clue whether these guys are going to play well. I don't have a clue as to whether the team drafted people that they're going to use properly. I don't have a clue that if this time, at this time next year, you all are not going to be upset and want to run Trent Baalke out of town. I have no idea. All I can tell you is this, that their plan seems to be pretty clear for me. Bigger, stronger, athletic. They needed to improve the front seven. That their plan seems to be that for right now, having Christian Kirk and Zay Jones is better than having one of those guys and then a rookie in the second round. I probably would agree with that. Because if you can get 60 balls and 700 yards out of Zay Jones, that's probably more than any rookie you drafted in the second round this year is going to give you. Now, does that mean that he's the long-term answer? No, and I think that's what people want. People want that guy, just like Trevor. Trevor statistically didn't play as well last year. But folks are okay with it because they know, and in their heart of hearts, they feel like Trevor is that guy moving forward. And I think people just want that guy. They want that next receiver that they can go there. Like if it was T. Higgins, they'd be like, that's what we want. But what was T. Higgins' first year like? And what was T. Higgins... what was T. Higgins like before Jamar Chase? He was a good player, but he really is a good player now. The thing is, you don't have to wait to get a Jamar Chase before you get a T. Higgins. If T. Higgins is in front of you, you go ahead and take T. Higgins. So I think that's why there are some people that were a little bit upset. I think they helped themselves? Yeah. Does it make more clear who they liked versus who they didn't? Sure. Were they right when they didn't say that they didn't like the wide receiver class? Yeah, but if there's one thing that I can definitively tell you that does bother me a little bit about this collaboration is, it doesn't seem like Baalke gets the correct compensation, or he maximizes the compensation for trades. Because for them to have seven picks, and only use, well, they had 12 and they only used seven, but they were actually picking first in every round. And you pick first in the draft. So after you pick first, that means you have 11 more picks, but you only used six of those 11. And the only thing that you did that was, I think, upwardly was go from 33 to 27. And you took Devin Lloyd. At some point, if you tell me after the first pick that if you have six more and then it's 33 and the two third round picks. Okay, so you go from 33 to 27. Well, it didn't cost you five picks to do that. So that's why I ask, what did they do? They got an extra fourth rounder. I'll give you that, okay, for next year, which is a better draft. I somehow don't believe that the math is mathing. I feel like they could have gotten more picks, an extra player, or more picks next year. There's something about the fact that they didn't move up in the first because they couldn't. They were as high as you could go. They only moved up five places in the second. They didn't move up in the third because they had the number one pick. They didn't get in the back end of the second round. Where did all the picks go? Okay, they only used up to go from 33 to 27. It cost you 33 and two more. Okay, so after that, you still should be picking more people than you ended up with, but they didn't. That's a little weird to me. It's weird that they started with 12 resources. They ended up with seven players and a resource for next year, which is eight. And all they did was move up five spots. So that's four picks. It's like, where did they go? Where did they go? And most of the time, they only really moved up one time. So if you only moved up one time, and that one time you moved up was only five spots, what the hell happened to the rest of seven spots? What happened to the rest of those picks? And it just seems like even with the Gardner Minshew deal, even with other stuff, like you couldn't get more than a six-round pick for a guy who started that much in this league. It's really, really weird to me that for some reason it seems like he doesn't quite get all of the compensation that he's supposed to get. And I think that's what confuses people. You also didn't address the tight end position. And so you think tight end and wide receivers really a priority, but you didn't address it at all in the draft. At all. It's just really strange to me sometimes with some of the things that they do. And I would only guess that at some point there were picks that were made that were really about what the scouts wanted them to do, and they acquiesced to the scouts. Make no mistake about it, the message from Doug Peterson, though, is that there's no space between anybody, that they're all in, and that they were never not on the same page about everything. And it sounds like they didn't even have to sit here and discuss and go back and forth and have a tug of war about who it was. I believe that. I believe Peterson had a big hand in it, and I believe that I don't think it was a case where somebody didn't get their own way. You know, so these are all the things that I heard this weekend, all the things that are coming up. I like the Trayvon Walker pick, and there are a lot of people that don't, and I get it. But some of that is the emotion of what you have been told this entire time, and it's not about real tangible football stuff. You know, I ain't going to knock anybody from looking at tape. I look at tape and still have to get confirmation and juice from people that have done it. And whether it's a former GM or a former scout or former anything, every GM at some point, somebody told me, well, if you listen to an ex-GM who is not of a job, he was bad at it. Yeah, you can listen to North Turner about offensive football and quarterbacks. Just because he was a bad head coach doesn't mean he doesn't know football. And, you know, whether or not the people that I discuss, like some people are in college, they're no longer in scouting. They're coaching in college. It doesn't mean that they don't know. Or it doesn't mean that, I mean, everybody has been fired in that business at some point or another. So you listen to that stuff. I don't mind guys coming up with their own boards. And we know we all do this for fun, and we do it for content. So the thing is I always try not to do is I try to give you guys the information where I'm trying to understand what their philosophy is and what their tendencies are. That's why I always said that I thought it would be somebody other than Aiden Hutchinson, is because of the tendencies of the people in the league. I always try to give you guys want to know what they're going to do, not what they would do if you were in charge. So I always try to give you the information. I always try to just give you an idea of what they may be thinking versus what they may not be thinking, right? And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. But one thing about the draft when it ends is you really, really know whether or not you were dead on. And I think we did a pretty good job in coverage. What do they need to do moving forward? They need to get everybody healthy and get in camp, man. Get everybody healthy, get in camp, continue to do things the way they've been doing it so far. I got a little bird that told me they're not running the same defense that they ran last year, even though that was a 3-4 also. They're doing things a lot differently. They're learning a lot more. And guys that you think are lined up with certain guys aren't in those blocks and they aren't in those rooms. So I think they're building it around the personnel that they have as opposed to just having a shell defense and just putting a guy into a certain spot. So that's why I don't think you can look at Tampa or anything else and go, well, this guy's going to play that role. This guy's going to play the role. I think this is a totally different deal here. And I'm basing that on what I've heard and who I've talked to, that this is just being built based on the people that they have. And they got the people that they wanted in the offseason. So we'll see how it works. I know how it works here with me and you. You're going to be here tomorrow again because that's what you do, because you make Locked On Jaguars your team every day. Make sure you tune in to Locked On NFL also on the YouTube page as well as wherever you get your podcast. I'll be there with James Rapine on Wednesday, and we'll talk about the big stories of each and every day as we get all of you guys ready for training camp. All right, I'm Tony Wiggins here with Locked On Jaguars. Take care. We appreciate you joining us and making us your first listen. Take care of each other, and we'll see you tomorrow.